Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Well, this has been not a bad Thursday night football game here in week two of the NFL season. Cincinnati hasn't scored in the second half, but they still have a 28-17 lead over the Baltimore Ravens. Big divisional battle here. The one good thing that the NFL is doing scheduling-wise with these games, they've got a slew of really good games on Thursday night this year. They really do. They got the Saints-Falcons. They got the Saints, Cowboys the following week after Thanksgiving. A lot of them. So we're finally going to see some good football here. Bengals-Ravens. You know, this isn't Ravens-Browns. This is two teams that at least are going to be fighting for playoff spots, I think, in the AFC. They should be right around 500, both those teams, give or take a game or two. Ravens near midfield. Big third and one here for Joe Flacco as they roll him out to the right side, and he's going to escape and scramble, I think, for a first down. Yeah, he does. Joe Mixon injured, Tim?
Yeah, he went to the sideline and then went to the locker room with a knee injury. I don't know if it's serious because he came back out of the locker room, but it's Gio Bernard's been on the field the entire time. So if you have Joe Mixon like I do in fantasy, not a good thing, because I thought he was in for a top 10, top, you know, maybe potential five running back season in fantasy.
Yeah, indeed. We'll get to some high school football here in just a little bit. The LHSAA coming under fire today after upholding their ruling that ruled Hahnville High School quarterback Andrew Robeson ineligible. He's a senior this year, ineligible for the entire season for Hahnville. Transfer from Vanderbilt Catholic to Hahnville, upholding the four-game suspension for Coach Salt Formaggio there. And then also, Alan Waddell is going to come into the program in about 10 minutes to talk about that and also talk about some of the games coming up tomorrow. But first, I want to get to pick six here, Tim, because you were doing the early shows yesterday, so you missed pick six yesterday. And you got to make up some ground, man. You got some making up to do here. So take it away, Tim. You tell me, give us the six games that are on the slate here, and you tell me where you're going.
So like I said, I'm so confident in these picks this week that I may eat crickets.
Okay.
If I don't go 3-3.
Is this a play on words? Is there like a crickets candy now? Are you going to walk in here next week with when you go 1-5? Like you probably are going
to. We're pretty close to the insectarium, so I could literally go get a cricket, like, you know, little cricket chocolate thing and go eat that.
Okay.
So
okay.
I'm just throwing it out there.
All right.
But the first game we had was the Browns versus the Saints at Saints. Saints are 9-point favorites. And I really like the Saints in this game just because I think the defense is going to bounce back. Last week, T.J. Watt got 3 or 4 sacks on that left side of the defensive line. I think that's the same side Cam Jordan plays. I know T.J. Watt does play the same position as Cam Jordan.
Right.
I think Cam Jordan's gonna you know, get into that. They're gonna get Tyrod Taylor a couple sacks here. I just think the Saints defense, and they're gonna play well in this game. I think this is a game where when the Saints, they want to make a good showing after last week's performance.
I've got him covering too.
Yeah, give me the Saints -9. I think the Saints win by at least 10 in this one.
Yeah, Logan's the guest picker, by the way. And anybody who missed it yesterday, Logan Falgu, who fills in for Tim here, is our producer when Tim's doing the early show. So Tim and I both, I guess we're all three on the Saints on this
one.
At least means they won't cover, right? Doesn't necessarily mean they're going to lose. At least means they're not going to cover here. That means
every time we go 3 in a row, it's bad news for that team.
Okay.
I'm just letting you know, what happens. But next game was the Panthers at the Falcons. This is actually a hard game for me because I really don't like the Panthers at all this year. I think they're like a 6-10 football team, although I did think the Cowboys were 6-10 last week when they beat them. But I think the Falcons offense, although Steve Sarkisian hasn't been great, I think they're good enough to at least win by 7.
Ooh.
So give me the Falcons -6. They win by 7, and they cover by 1 point.
Okay, you're differing from Logan and I. We both had Carolina here. I just think Atlanta's a mess right now, not just the offense and Matt Ryan, but also the defense that's lost Deion Jones and Keanu Neal. They're going to have a really hard time slowing down this running game. Keanu Neal is so important as a safety in that Dan Quinn defense against the run. I think they're going to have a real hard time with Cam Newton and Christian McCaffrey.
I do like Dan Quinn's defense a lot, and I think he's such a good coach defensively that I think he can somehow disguise these
We'll see.
At least for this game. And I think they're playing at home, and I think that offense is better at home, not on the road. And they're not playing
straight home wins against the Panthers.
They're not playing in Philly, so their offense isn't going to be – it's going to be better because the last two games they've played.
Well, it can't be worse. Can it be any worse than last week?
I just think the Falcons win by seven.
Well, here. you can make up a game here. Yeah. All right.
And then there's the Patriots at Jaguars. Patriots are a road favorite, minus one. I just think the Patriots are going to have something to prove with Jalen Ramsey's comments about Gronk and all that. I think the Patriots win this game. I think they win by, I don't know, like 8 or 10 points. I just think they have a lot to prove.
Yeah, this is one of those games where I just don't think we know enough, to be honest, about these two teams. It's an early season game. To be honest, I think if you ask the odds makers, they wouldn't know enough either. But the smart money is always on New England here. It always is on New England in this spot.
Here's two things to consider. The Patriots' defense looked really good last week against the Texans. And two, Leonard Fournette is a game-time decision. So if Leonard Fournette's not playing in this game, who are the Patriots going to take away?
Well, they got Yeldon.
They do have T.J. Yeldon, but he's no Leonard Fournette.
No, but the defense is, man, I know we've said this on this show a lot, so people probably get it now, especially if you listen to the program a lot. Yeah, the Jacksonville defense is good. Okay, we get it, Seth, we get it. No, go watch them. Go watch how good they are at every level. Speed, physicality, they're great against the run. They are, like, all-time great against the pass. Like, this is a defense that even Tom Brady, I don't think, is going to be able to crack here. But, I, by the way, after saying all that, I'm with you. I have the Patriots covering
here. I think the game plan in this game is let's make Blake Bortles beat us, and I think that's what pretty much every defense does against the Jaguars. But I think the Patriots are really good at taking away something. They're going to probably take away Leonard Fournette. If there's no Fournette there, I think they take away Yeldon, but I think there's other receivers out there. I know Allen Hurns isn't there anymore. Chart's there now. They have D.D. Westbrook. But, I mean, there's not really good receivers on the Jaguars, so I think the Patriots' defense actually plays well in this one.
Don't look now. John Brown, another touchdown catch, second of the year, and the
Cincinnati
Ravens.
Bengals are going to lose this game. Like, they're going to blow it. It's such a Bengals thing to do.
28-23, they were up three scores, 21-0, and then 28-21. Ravens, two-point try, no good. So 28-23, Bengals by five with 9:35 to go. All right, into college now with our pick six for you, Tim.
Yeah, so I have LSU at Auburn. LSU is a 10-point dog. I think LSU keeps it close. I think it kind of goes down to one or two possessions. And like kind of like last year with the Danny Etling thing, I think LSU – I don't know if they'll win. I don't want to make that prediction yet. I kind of want to stay unbiased on this one, but I think LSU covers.
You can't. That would be such a homer. I understand that, look, this is big-time college football. LSU can certainly go in there and beat Auburn. There's no doubt about that. But if you're picking LSU objectively to go in there and win, that is the biggest homer pick you've ever made.
I was there when Jarrett Lee came in the game and they beat LSU. I was there, and I know LSU can win in Auburn.
Sure they can. Yeah, no, they can. I mean, they could go into Alabama and win. They can.
Yeah, they should have won 2 years ago.
Troy can come into Tiger Stadium and beat LSU. They can.
It's one of those things where Auburn, they're weird. They're a weird team. Sometimes they can play really well, and then sometimes they can play really bad. It just depends on what LSU and what Auburn team shows up on the field. That's why I'm taking LSU with the 10 points, but yeah. I don't know if they'll win.
I believe I'm on LSU here, and yeah, we're all on LSU, if I remember
right. Which means we're going to lose.
That means just like 8 out of the last 9 times, the home team's going to cover here. That's what's going to happen.
Two more games real quick. Ohio State at TCU. Ohio State is a 13.5-point favorite on the road. I think TCU is not a bad football team, and with all that stuff going on in Ohio State, I kind of think TCU keeps it close. I don't know if they're going to win.
I think you're with Logan there. I'm with Ohio State. Ohio State is just,
I know they're loaded,
so good.
But I just think TCU can put points up. That Oregon State game kind of was weird because Ohio State was way better, but Oregon State kind of kept it close early in the game, and then they blew it out in the second half. But I like TCU there. And then there's Alabama versus Ole Miss. I already said it earlier. I like Ole Miss to cover, plus 21. I just think that offense is too good enough. They're too good, and I think they put 28 points.
They're too good against Alabama's defense?
I think Ole Miss can score 20-something points in here, which means Bama's got to score at least 45.
They will! They may,
unless – I only think they score that if they get a defensive touchdown.
Well, you know who likes your pick more than anybody else?
Ralph.
No, actually, Ralph's with me, I believe, on this one, but I was going to say Deuce. Deuce loves your pick.
Well, obviously, Deuce is – a rebel there. But I will say the one weak spot on Alabama's defense is their secondary. They lost so much in the draft that I think their secondary is their one weak spot. And they're actually, this is a weird thing. One of Bama's strengths this season is their quarterback. When's the last time Bama's had a Heisman contending quarterback? It hasn't happened in a while. It's mostly been running back, linebacker, and defensive back. You've seen Heisman Trophy candidates from the Alabama on defense and at running back, but never quarterback.
Yeah. Tony the Landshark, your new Ole Miss
they
mascot.
They do have a terrible mascot, the land shark.
Is it that bad? I just think that people creepy. Aren't used to Well, like I mean, creepy mascots can be good. The one good thing about the baby cakes, not the one good thing, I don't want to think that many shots at them, but the best thing about the baby cakes, I think, has been their mask. Their actual mascot was the best minor league baseball mascot out there, period. Like, end of story. You kidding me?
The land shark mascot is as bad as King Cake Baby, and I like King Cake Baby, but it's
in really, the best way. Yes, it's bad, but like so bad it's good.
It's like a shark that's on like some kind of like, you know, amphetamines or something like that.
Well, it's like the tree in Stanford. It's terrible, but it's terrible in such a way that it's good. It's like Left Shark. Left Shark was so bad, it's good. Same thing with Land Shark. Left Shark.
Left Shark would have been a lot better mascot than Land Shark.
Okay. All right, we'll take a break here. When we come back, Alan Waddell will join the program. We'll talk about the Andrew Robeson situation in Hanville and everything high school football coming back next. I'm Seth Dunlap. He's Tim Zimmer. This is The Last Lap. Right, welcome back to the program, as that music probably lets you know. We're talking a little high school football now. We'll get to the actual on-the-field stuff. But first, let's bring on in Alan Waddell, co-host with me on the Allstate Sugar Bowl Prep Football Roundup, Friday, 7 to 10:30, right here on WWL. Alan, we got to talk about what happened off the field today. The LHSAA upholding rulings that ban Hanville quarterback Andrew Robeson for the entire year, ruled him ineligible, upheld the four-game suspension for Coach Salt, and the fine for Hanville High School. What'd you make of this?
Well, Seth, thanks for having me tonight. And, you know, I've been really fascinated with this story, especially today, going back and watching the videos of listening to Coach Salt Ramaggio talk, listening to Andrew Robeson talk, listening to his mother speak. And I really just think it's an unfortunate situation. I really thought that they were going to overturn this and let him play. And I'm surprised that they didn't. And I'm disappointed for the young man who, you know, I've taken to Twitter tonight and kind of put some of my opinions out there, but I'm really disappointed that that the young man is not going to have an opportunity to play for his senior year, and it's just something that he'll never get back. He gets one senior year in his life, and he's going to not have that opportunity this year.
Yeah, that's what I said on Twitter as well. Anybody who doesn't feel incredibly bad for Andrew Robeson is just you're cruel. I think everybody that I've talked to certainly feels incredibly bad for him. It's such a nuanced situation, and it's interesting, Alan, because you know you've covered this high school sports really for your entire adult life here, and you know this is something that the LHSAA, this isn't an isolated case. This is something that they have done, put down the hammer on kids for a long, long time here. I think there are other cases previously that deserved just as much or more scrutiny than this one. You remember the Clement Mubungira situation from Episcopal a couple of years ago when he was the refugee coming in?
Right.
Yeah. I ruled him ineligible. That to me, I know I was shouting from the rooftops about that, here, and it didn't get any traction pretty much anywhere else across the state. Like, I think it's good that the light is getting shined on this situation here. I think there are reasons that it is. I'm trying to stay away from those reasons here on the air on this program. But if anything comes out of this, Alan, I hope that maybe the LHSAA looks at their policy and reevaluates things.
Well, Seth, but you know, you talk about that young man that was ruled ineligible, and we talk about Andrew Robeson, but I think about the number one thing I was thinking about when I knew I was coming on with you tonight and getting ready for our show tomorrow night, because I'm sure this is something we'll touch on again tomorrow,
yeah.
You know, I think about players like, I mean, this is going way back, but, you know, Brady James played at Wofford for 3 years and then transferred to West Monroe for a senior year. Cam Robertson, who's playing in the NFL, same thing, transferred for a senior year from one school to another school right in his same area. I mean, there's been notable transfers, big-time prospects that transferred from different schools and different areas of the state for years. And they've been able to play. I mean, so I hate the fact that he cannot compete his senior season. And it's just one of those deals where you never get these moments back. You never get these Friday nights back. And as the older we get, to realize how much, you know, how special those moments are.
Yeah, indeed. And I will say this, and I don't want to put words in your mouth here, but from everything that I've read and what I know from behind the scenes, the person that looks the worst out of this is the head coach of Vanderbilt Catholic, and I believe that. Just, I mean, you talk about somebody that is completely out of control. Just go read. I won't get into that here with Alan. Talking to Alan Waddell, co-host of the Allstate Sugar Bowl Prep Football Roundup here at Alan G. Waddell on Twitter. Alan, you're going to be at your alma mater, I think, for only the second time. You were telling me last week your co-hosting career here on the program. Catholic New Iberia, the state champs, facing St. Thomas Aquinas. What can you tell us about that one?
Yeah, going to get a chance to go over to the old stomping grounds, and St. Thomas Aquinas going to they're going to have their hands full, certainly with the defending state champs at Catholic New Iberia. Kind of a special moment for me is my high school coach who coached me at St. Thomas is now one of the assistant coaches at Catholic High New Iberia. So an opportunity to say hello to Coach Randy Johnson over there for the Panthers. But looking forward to a good game and looking forward to seeing what Brent Endes and his team has back. I know they lost some key players off of last year's state championship team, but there's a lot of people that think they can repeat running that vaunted wing tee attack over there. Catholic High New Iberia. I'm looking forward to seeing those guys live.
Yeah, there's some other big games in the city here. You've got Arrett taking on Destrehan, so they get another River Parish school there. Arrett's the real deal, man. You saw them last week.
Yeah, man. John Arrett has come out of the gate, Steph. Look at their schedule. I mean, they opened up at West Monroe, then last week they played Hawnville and shut out the Tigers, and then now they go right across. I know that they play at home tomorrow, and they're going to take on Destrehan, and I'm really anxious to see how this one turns out. Destrehan's been rolling. They're putting up a ton of points. Obviously, John Emery, one of the top players in the state and in the country. I mean, committed to Georgia as a running back. The quarterback's outstanding. We know how well coached they are. But I'll tell you, Arrett's the real deal on defense. I mean, they got five or six guys that are going to be D1 signees, and I'm anxious to see that what happens tomorrow night when that Arrett D lines up against that very talented Destrehan O.
Well, the biggest game in the state is for our Baton Rouge listeners tomorrow, no doubt about it. Catholic of Baton Rouge against U-Hi. That's going to be just unbelievable, I think. You're talking about two state champions, two of the best programs in the state. Alan, I can't wait to kind of watch from afar that one play out.
Seth, you know what? I got to really give the Baton Rouge area a lot of credit because, you know, three of the best teams, if not the three best teams in the state, are all in Baton Rouge, in my opinion. I mean, you look at, you know, what Catholic High is doing, what Zachary's doing. That's not really in Baton Rouge, right outside of Baton Rouge. And then University High, who I think is the best team in the entire state. And they're kind of playing a little round robin against each other. They're all playing each other.
Right.
And we're getting to see the best teams lock up on the field, and I love to see that. And, you know, Catholic High, they're coming off of a big win against Zachary, and then you know, I kind of keep counting out Catholic High in these big games, but U-High has just been absolutely rolling, and I think they get it done tomorrow night. But, man, what an outstanding game. There's going to be incredible high school culture at those two games.
Yeah,
no
doubt about it. You know, speaking of incredible atmosphere, this rivalry, Holy Cross and Chalmette, picks back up tomorrow. And the Guy LeCompte era, you talk about starting with a bang, 2-0 and looking to make it 3-0 here. They might be sneaky, not maybe state title contenders, but certainly sneaky contenders maybe to make at least a run a little bit in the playoffs.
Guy LeCompte was maybe the best hire in the state. I mean, this guy can absolutely coach. I mean, what he did at Mandeville, I mean, he put Mandeville into a 5A contender year in and year out. And now he's at Holy Cross, and they've, you know, Holy Cross has struggled the last few years, and they've come out the gate strong. And now they played Higgins, you know, who's down, and then they beat up one Covington, who lost a ton from a year ago. So I think we'll get a good measure and stick in a rivalry game, but certainly Holy Cross is on the uptick and heading and trending in the right direction under Coach Guy LeCompte.
Well, Alan, it's you and I, and then Coach Lou's back tomorrow. You and Lou out at St. Thomas Aquinas, man. Can't wait.
Yeah, looking forward to it. There's a lot of really big games in the state, and I know that Coach Nelson Stewart and Newman, they got a win tonight over East Jefferson and some of the games on Thursday night as well. We're going to cover it all, and I look forward to being with you again tomorrow night.
So. All right, Alan, we'll talk to you tomorrow, man.
All right, dude.
All right, Alan Waddell, co-host of the All-State Sugar Bowl Prep Football Roundup. Give him a follow, at Alan G. Waddell. Also hosts some of the Southeastern Lions pregame and postgame stuff for their football team and on into basketball season, too, at Alan G. Waddell on Twitter. We will take a break. I'll come back with more thoughts on the Andrew Robeson situation and the LHSAA. And then it's two-minute drill coming up in just a little bit on the last lap. Thursday night football just about in the books. Cincinnati will avoid the collapse as they kick a field goal, go up 8, and then the ensuing drive, a strip sack of Joe Flacco. So it looks like, although there's 2.5 minutes left, Cincinnati with the ball, 2.5 minutes inside the 25-yard line of Baltimore, looking to wrap it up there. Two-minute drill coming up in about 10 minutes. 8 questions, 2 minutes of sports trivia, and you will have a chance to take on me, as you do every single week here in about 10 minutes. Just some more thoughts here, and I want to give you a chance to weigh in on this. And I've changed my mind, as I told you at the top of the hour. Initially, I was going to stay away from this, but we have gotten so much feedback on the LHSAA decision to uphold the suspension, the year-long suspension of Hanville senior quarterback Andrew Robeson and their head coach Nick Saltzfamaggio, that I had to talk about it a little bit here. I wanted to stay away. Be frank, I think it'd be you and doing you, the audience, a disservice, because I know a lot of you want to talk about this. So the phone number is area code 504-260-1870, 504-260-1870. You can text us at 870-870. Just full disclosure here, Coach Nick Saltzfamaggio, Hanville High School, he's been a friend of not only this program, but our prep coverage, covered state championships with us last year. He has filled in on this program previously. So full disclosure there. But what has struck me about this, and I guess it shouldn't have surprised me here, this is the reaction to this situation has been so visceral and so loud this afternoon and evening. We haven't heard this, at least this loudly, this viscerally before. And the LHSAA, like Alan just laid out, that I laid out earlier in the hour, they have been ruling kids ineligible for a very long time. And the one part of it that I don't think is an excuse is age. Not anymore. It's not. You have to make very important decisions in your life when you're very young now. I know I did. I made some very important decisions in my life, and you did before you were 17. And those decisions will shape your life going forward. I will also say that you have to be, like I just said with Alan, you have to be an incredibly cruel person not to feel really, really badly for Andrew Robeson in this situation. You just do. This is a kid who's going to miss his senior year of football. And if you saw the reaction of his mother from that hearing at the LHSAA, that video is floating around online. I mean, it tugs at your heartstrings here. It really does. That said, my view on this, with all that said, a little layered here, but I'm glad I'm not the LHSAA here, because I don't know how they can rule any differently on this and maintain their integrity. I really don't. And I know I'm in the minority on that, but if you look at the rule and if you look at their past history of the kids that they have ruled ineligible, unless they had a complete change of philosophy just in this case, I was one of the people that said they're going to uphold this because they've upheld these kind of things in the past. I don't envy the LHSAA in this, and I'm not saying the rules on the book are right. I think they're a little draconian. I think they're a little overboard. But this is a policy issue more than it is a specific issue on this case. And here's what also gets at me. I stay away from political conversations or conversations about race as much as possible on this program. I do. I think if you listen to this program enough, you know that I do. But when I feel things around those issues need to be brought up, I will bring them up. Andrew Robeson is different than the kids who are usually brought before the LHSAA in these situations. Usually, these players, these kids, are impoverished minorities. And we have seen time and time again the LHSAA come down with a hammer on those kids, and there's barely a peep from anywhere. I remember the situation at Episcopal, 3 years ago now, 4 years ago now, that we were covering a refugee. A refugee, his name was Clement Mubungirwa, he's trying to play football in high school his senior year, 19 years old, but because of his refugee status, he wasn't able to get into high school until he was a little older. And the LHSAA ruled that kid a refugee ineligible. I talked about it on the program when we were doing the show back on 3WL. I tried to bring this to light, and you know what? Almost nobody else did. There were a few publications and a few people who were just as passionate about this. But this just isn't about Andrew Robeson. And if you're very loud about this one, if you're screaming at the LHSAA about this one, where are you when it's not the middle class white kid? I'm just being honest here. That's what I see here. I also think, like I just said, this was the wrong decision. I think it's the wrong rule on the book. But if you're upset about this one, you need to be upset about what happened at Bel Air. What happened at Parkway? What happened at Episcopal? What happened at McKinley? Thank goodness they reversed that one today. They were going to rule five different players ineligible for the entire season. So I get the outrage. I think it's warranted. But I think there's a reason why this case is drawing so much publicity and others haven't. And I wish those other cases would. Just my thought on it. Let's take your phone calls here at 504-260-1870. Nate on the North Shore. You want to weigh in here. Go ahead. Nate, you're on. Go.
Oh, hey, Seth. Thanks for having me.
Yep. But
I have a little bit of experience with the LHSAA. I'd say about, 13 years ago when I was in high school, I had to move away for my sophomore year of high school. And it ended up not working out in the long run. I was probably abroad. I think I was in a suburb of Atlanta for about 3 weeks. So I quickly moved back. I was in a private school on the North Shore. I had played football the prior 2 years that I had moved away from Louisiana. Like I said, I was only in Atlanta for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, maybe, and moved back. And as soon as I moved back, I was a part of the football team before, wanted to be a part of the football team again. So I talked to my coach, and he told me, well, the LHSAA might rule you ineligible because you had attended a different school.
Mm-hmm.
So we appealed. I guess we tried to make myself eligible. In the end, they ruled me ineligible because I had attended an out-of-state school for, I guess, 3 weeks. And so with that said, it seems like they have no accountability. They have nobody that has to hold them accountable for any of the choices that they make. And these are just kids.
They're draconian rules, Nate, is what it is. I mean, it's the principals who make the rule here. This is the board enforcing the rules. I'm not saying I agree with the rule at all. Your story is a perfect example. This has been going on for years here. It's the rules that are the problem in my mind. Again, everybody wants to yell and scream at the board, but they're enforcing the rules. They're enforcing the rules here. Let's see here. We've got a couple of texters wanting to know what rule was broken. It's a little bit complicated, but I'll lay it out for you here. Andrew Robeson, last year he played at Vanderbilt Catholic. His dad was a coach of the basketball team. His dad was fired from the basketball team. So after basketball season, Andrew and his family, they kind of let the team and their coach know that they weren't going to be playing there next year. I will say this. Coach Atwell and Vanderbilt Catholic looks terrible in this. I'm not going to go into all of that, but he probably comes out here looking the worst of anybody. And really, that whole program needs to be probably shined a light on down there at Vanderbilt Catholic. But while he was still at Vanderbilt Catholic, still attending that school, he was in Louisiana Football Magazine wearing a Hahnville jersey. And the reasons for that are apparently wasn't allowed to wear a Vanderbilt Catholic jersey, and a player from Hahnville gave him that jersey to wear. I understand there's nuance here. I certainly do. I just know I've covered high school sports for way too long. That is an egregious violation of the rules and regulations here in the state. I know there's reasons for it. I know that it looks like, if Andrew Robeson is telling the truth in his deposition here, I don't know if it's a deposition, it's not the right word, but in his statements here, that, again, Coach Atwell and Vanderbilt Catholic certainly is highly culpable here for this. And I think, again, the microscope needs to be on them, not just a little bit, but a lot. But again, this was an egregious violation of the rules. It just was. I don't know what the LHSA could do here besides, I mean, you're talking about if they had ruled Robeson eligible for the season, then you would have looked at precedent and say, okay, why did you rule Clement Mubangira ineligible? Why did you rule these Bel Air kids ineligible? Or Parkway, whatever other situation. A meet had to forfeit a playoff game and their entire football season a couple of years ago. They weren't able to play in the state championship game. And we heard a little bit of outcry, certainly not at this level, not even close. Not even close. Tim, hold on here. I want to squeeze Carl in. Carl, we're up against the clock. Really quickly,
yeah,
what you got?
I was just going to bring up that same topic, A. Meat. And, you know, there was a lot of controversy in that, and they were accused of just being, you know, all-out rogues fighting. But they had just scored, and a lot of kids were on the field because of the score, and then their special teams was coming on the field. So everybody wasn't running on there to fight. And then the ref called the game, and somebody said everybody go to the end zone. So,
yeah, no, Carl, look, you're 100% right, and that's what I bring up here. This isn't an isolated case. There has been severe penalty. You're talking about penalizing an entire team at a shot at a championship a couple of years ago, and they've penalized students years of eligibility here before. This isn't an isolated case. Anyways, we'll move on from this. It's a sad case, and I'll say it again. I really, really feel just terribly for Andrew Robeson. Anybody who doesn't, I'm kind of cruel. I think most people do. Coach Salton will be our moment of zen. He was on with Christian earlier tonight. Coming back, it's 2-Minute Drill. If you want to face off against me, it's 2 minutes of sports trivia, 8 questions. Your chance to hop on in. Give us a call. First caller gets it, 504-260-1870, 504-260-1870. 2-Minute Drill next. All right, welcome back to the show. 2-Minute Drill time, 2-Minute Drill trivia. 8 questions, 2 minutes here on the last lap. I'm Seth Dunlap. Michael in Biloxi, you are the competitor today. What's going on, Michael?
Hey, what's going on? I figured I'd give it a shot.
All right, Michael. Well, look, you got more than a shot, especially against me. I'm turning everything down in here. This is completely above the board. I usually lose this, I feel like, by the way. Okay, my stuff's going down. Tim, take it away.
All right, Michael, I totally did this last second, so we're going to just throw out these questions here, and I'm going to give you, right when the music starts, you're going to answer, and here we go.
All right.
Give me 1 second because the audio is not working here, so we'll do 1 second here. My audio was turned off on the computer, so that's not a good thing, and Seth has no idea this is happening. All right, let's do this. First question, Michael, who is the head coach of the Arizona Cardinals currently?
It's the guy, the former coordinator for Carolina, Steve Wilkes.
That is correct. I asked 5 people at the LSU press box, and not one person could tell me.
Yeah.
All right. Question number 2, how many teams currently are over 100 wins this season in the Major League Baseball?
1.
That is correct. It is the Boston Red Sox.
Oh, yeah.
Question number 3, right. Name me 3 teams of the 8 that had a defensive touchdown last week in the NFL. I need 3 teams of 8.
Jets.
That's 1.
Jets. Saints. No. Not the Saints. Tampa Bay.
Jets. Tampa Bay is 2. I need 1 more team that had a defensive touchdown.
Baltimore.
Baltimore did not have a defensive touchdown. So, question number 4. James Conner is the backup to the Steelers' Le'Veon Bell. Who's the backup quarterback? Backup running back to James Conner, and I'll give you a hint. He played for LSU.
Troussant.
Troussant? No, Troussant's actually not on the team anymore. They do have a guy named Jalen Samuels, but the guy who's the backup to James Conner is actually Stephen Ridley.
Oh, okay, Ridley. He just played for the Patriots and the Giants, yep.
Yep. Question number 4, or actually this is question number 5. This is a 2-part question. The second part is a bonus question. Which team was just the WNBA Finals champion on Wednesday? Seattle Storm. Yeah. That's correct. Yeah. That's correct. And the final and your bonus question: who was the MVP of that?
Bird. I don't know.
No, it was Brandon Stewart. And your final question: name me one of the two teams that has won the most games on Thursday night football with a total of 8 wins. Not this is, doesn't count Thanksgiving games. There's two teams that have won a total of 8 games in their history on Thursday night. Name me one of them.
The Rams?
The Rams are not that. Nope, it's actually the Steelers and Cowboys. So I'm going to get Seth back on right here, and we're going to be.
All right, man.
I'm getting Seth on right now.
Here we go.
Yeah, we're good. I can give you the answer right now. He had four, I think. He had three.
All right, let's run through them. All right, let's go.
One second. Let me get the music back up, and we'll do this. This is a last second thing. Like I told you during the break. So, he had three, and I think he got the bonus wrong. I'll recount after.
Okay.
Let's do it. First question: who was the head coach of the Who is the head coach currently of the Arizona Cardinals?
Stephen Wilkes.
That is right. I actually asked like a ton of people at the LSU press box, and no one could get that answer right. They just know he was a defensive coordinator at Carolina. That's all they know him for.
All right.
Question number two: how many teams currently have over 100 wins in the MLB right now?
In Major League Baseball,
over 100 wins.
Over? Yeah. Is that a trick question?
How many teams? One team did win tonight. So. How many teams have 100?
Before tonight or right now?
How many teams have 100 or more wins in the Major League Baseball?
I thought it was just as of right now.
I thought it was just one.
I'm going to go one.
It is one.
Okay, Boston, right? Okay. I thought you were trying to trick me here.
Yankees, no one else. They all have 90 wins. All right. Question number three: name me three teams of the eight that had a defensive touchdown last week.
Three teams of the eight.
There was 8 teams that scored a defensive touchdown.
Cleveland?
The Browns?
Am I already wrong?
Yeah, you're already wrong there.
Well, yeah, so many, I guess.
I'll go over them real fast because it was the Jets, the Rams, the Bucks, of course.
Yeah.
The Lions.
I should have just said the Bucks. Yeah.
The Vikings, the Jags, the Bengals, and the Bears.
Yeah, I should have said the Bucks. That would have been easy. Okay.
All right, question number four. James Conner is the backup to Le'Veon Bell. Who is the backup running back to James Conner? Oh. The hint is he played for LSU.
Oh, man. Well, that's got to be deep in the books here.
It's not Trussant, which the caller said.
Well, and it's also not I don't know. Who is it?
It's Steven Ridley. The old.
Oh, wait, Ridley's there now?
Ridley is. I knew he used to play for the Patriots.
Oh, I had no idea. Yeah,
everyone
I wouldn't have gotten
he was
that.
Washed up. He's the backup to the bank.
Well, I knew it wasn't. I was thinking where, but he's still with Kansas City, so I would have never guessed Ridley. I should have known that, but I don't. All right.
Two questions left. You need to get at least one of them right.
All right.
Which team was just the WNBA Finals champion on Wednesday?
Oh, that's my Seattle Storm, baby.
All right. That you tied it up. Here's the bonus question: who is the MVP of that?
That and Brianna Stewart.
That is correct. Brianna Stewart was the MVP. And final question, name me one of the two teams that has won the most Thursday night football games with a total of 8 wins. This does not include day games during Thanksgiving.
Oh, is somebody who's, I don't know. New England.
New England?
Yeah.
No, actually, it's the Steelers and Cowboys.
Okay.
The Lions actually have only.
Oh, well, because you count Thanksgiving.
Yeah, the Steelers do play.
I should have known Cowboys. What am I doing? I should have known that.
The Detroit Lions actually have the least amount of Thursday night wins of all. Thanksgiving games are in the daytime.
All right, that's going to do it for 2-Minute Drill. Thanks, Michael. We're coming back, wrapping it up. Moment of Zen from Coach Salter Formaggio after this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.